Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I am your host, T. Morris, and all the way from sunny Arizona. It is still sunny over there, isn't it?
It is very sunny, yes. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, where it's a dry heat. And you know what? That does matter. Because I'll tell you something, because of that dry heat, it gets freaking cold at night. Don't let that desert fool you. Anyway, we are the authors of Podcasting for Dummies, the fourth edition, now available in bookstores everywhere. And we are, there it is. There it is. And for those of you who are joining us in Twitch, thank you for joining us. For those of you who are joining us on Twitch, you can actually see the book because we got the cover both in the lower corner
3D.
Of the overlay, but right there on there as well.
It's in
Chuck, 3D. Have you been getting any feedback whatsoever of Podcasting for Dummies at this point?
I have been watching the Amazon reviews closely. As of last Monday, I have a Monday morning routine that checks the numbers and checks the ratings and checks the reviews.
This is why I partnered with him.
Haven't seen anything on 4th edition yet, but granted, it's only been, what, a week?
So well, from the Twitch perspective, I can tell you I've had people come into my stream, tell them they have picked up the book and they're loving the new book.
Good.
I actually got a lawyer who had just finished both Podcasting for Dummies and Twitch for Dummies, and he wanted to do some sort of interview with me about content creators and the law, which I find highly ironic.
Considering the
topic of conversation we're going to have today, which is Twitch, the RIAA, the DMCA, and how podcasters fit into all of
this. Maybe even the KGB. We're not sure who else coming after you. But yeah, before we launch into that, I want to know if there's anybody out there who currently has a podcast that was inspired or educated by 4th edition, 3rd edition, any of the editions of Podcasting for Dummies. Reach out to us. I want to know how you're doing. How's your show doing? Is there anything you need from us or any questions you've got as an experienced podcaster, whether it's a week of experience or 15 years of experience? Yeah. I really want to know how we're doing with that audience. And who knows, maybe we'll get you to cut an ID and drop it into this show or something.
That would be awesome. And we would love to hear from you. And the way you can reach out, you can always come to the live recordings, which they are hosted at twitch.tv/theTMonster. That's my channel. And you just go on ahead and you follow the channel. Make sure notifications are enabled. That way you are alerted whenever we go live.
Like
so
five times a day, I get a notification that T. Morris is just chatting or playing Destiny 2 or, you know,
yeah, that happens.
It's pretty
that
active.
Happens.
You can't miss it.
Then you've got our voicemail. Feel free to reach out to us in the voicemail, 703-791-1701. Those last four digits are real easy to remember, especially for this podcast, because Chuck Tomasi hosts The Topic is Trek. And 1701 are the call numbers of the Enterprise. So you can't forget that number. 703-791-1701. You can also, if you don't want to drop us a voicemail, you can also drop us a voice file or a text message on WhatsApp. So go on ahead and feel free to use that. You also have our email address, which is, I believe, podcast@podcastingfordummies.com. But if not, feel free to reach out to me at t@tmorris.com. You can always drop us an email there if you want to do it old school. You can also send us an MP3 file. We will play your comment on the show as well. So these are all the different ways that you can not only tell us about your podcast and whether or not Podcasting for Dummies inspired you to create a podcast, but this is also how you can ask us questions. This also applies to streamers, because one of the things that I really look at with this book is that it is a bridge. This book and podcasting in general is a bridge between you and streaming. Total transparency. I think you would get a kick out of this, Chuck. Last week I emailed copies of both Twitch for Dummies and Podcasting for Dummies to AOC. I sent them to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I did. She, as you know, a couple weeks ago, she appeared for the first time ever on Twitch, and I reached out to her and said, look, I would love to help you in this journey if you really want to come back. And this is not me making a statement. I genuinely want to help people with this book. And they said, here's the address. So I sent them both copies, and the inscription I gave Podcasting for Dummies was, you're already streaming, so you're halfway there.
You bet.
But I wanted to ask you, Chuck,
because
I know
the hard part, really.
Exactly. And that was the thing I was going to ask you, Chuck. You actually got into streaming, if I remember correctly, because I was talking about it. I was just getting into it, and then you started streaming. So I wanted to ask you, what did you feel was the learning curve in making the jump from podcasting to streaming?
Well, we've been streaming since we've been doing Technorama since about 2009, I think, with Justin TV a long time ago.
Pre-Twitch.
Yeah, I didn't start.
Oh, you already did that.
Yeah, I didn't start getting onto Twitch until after I talked to you. So the Twitch thing is about 3 years old. But you know, we've been going to Google Hangouts or something for years and years. It's been an interesting journey with Google Hangouts and Justin TV and Twitch and Facebook. We've migrated around Technorama for a while. We've been on Facebook for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years. It's been a while.
So what do you think? I mean, how would you describe the learning curve between getting into streaming versus getting into podcasting?
Streaming has that live element, so it causes you to think on your feet quickly. Whereas an audio podcast, I find that like relaxing now. I do an audio podcast for work. And it's this conversation and somebody messes up, you go, that's fine. I'm just going to write down a time mark. I'll edit that out. You can start over.
Right.
But when it comes to live, you've really got to be a lot more, you have to think and talk at the same time. In fact, I was doing a live stream on Friday and said something and somebody socialized it and they quoted it word for word. And when I read it back, I went, I was off by one key word in that quote.
Right.
So
right.
You got to be a little more careful, and thought goes into what you say before you say it. And there's obviously going from microphone and recorder to lighting and backgrounds and possibly even makeup. There's that visual element that really takes it up a notch, plus the additional software. I mean, Audacity, easy to get started with. I mean, relatively speaking. OBS, Wirecast,
Wirecast,
a slippery slope.
I do not care for Wirecast. I'm just going to come out and say it. I do not care for Wirecast. I find it a little, you know what? I would say OBS to Wirecast is iMovie to Avid.
You think
and
so?
And if you don't know Avid, if you don't know Avid, Avid is the higher end software that makes, it actually makes Adobe Premiere look like iMovie. That's how complicated Avid is.
See, I guess I just grew up with Wirecast since version 4 and now they're on to 14. So I kind of know my way around that. I'm certain I'm not using all the potential that software has to use.
Right.
I use it
right.
for layers. I use it for the titles. I use it for transitions. I use it for some drop-in animations and screenshots from another computer. You know, there are some basics, but we get a pretty decent production out of it. And when you're a one-man shop, you don't want to go too complex. You got to be able to hit the buttons on the Stream Deck and go. So
exactly. You know, which is why I enjoy working with Streamlabs more than OBS. I think Streamlabs is like the marriage. It's the marriage of Wirecast and OBS.
Okay.
And I'm more in that groove. Real quick from the chat. Panic, don't panic 42 says, I would love to stream, but hate my speaking voice and listening to it would drive me crazy. Panic, that is usually the first hurdle that podcasters have to overcome.
Every one of us, everyone.
Well, not me. Oh, yeah. I mean, I got the theater training, so I'm good.
I mean, even but, as a kid, when you hear yourself on a tape recorder, okay, we go back to the tape recorders. And you play it back going, who's
especially
that?
Especially if it's at a convention and I've been at the bar, then I don't like the way I sound. That's the bottom line. I do not like the way I sound.
I love you, man.
I love you, Chuck. I love you so much. Anyway.
But most people have to go through that as well. And
yeah. You know, and that's not fair, Panic, because Panic has actually recorded music. She has sang for my stream. And let me tell you something. She's got a great voice. So I'm not buying that for a second, Panic. Not for a second. But Chuck and I bring not just to not just to our podcast, but to our stream, the experience of podcasting from so many years and being there in the trenches between 2004 and 2005, when we were doing this on, you know, literally fishing wire, two tin cans and a dream, you know, and and now here we are in 2020. And as many of you know, Twitch right now is going through nothing short of turmoil because of what is happening between them and a series of DMCA takedowns. Now, for those of you who don't understand or don't know any of this alphabet soup, RIAA, DMCA, I'm going to go on ahead and kick it over to Chuck so Chuck can explain what the RIAA is and who they are in this industry. So go ahead, Chuck.
I'm going to just try and remember what it stands for. It's the Recording Industry Association of America, if I'm not mistaken.
Boom!
Okay.
First try. Easy clap.
I don't always remember my initializations or acronyms, but when I do, I take a Dos Equis.
There you go. Stay informed, my friends.
They are the people that say, hey, this is licensed music. You need a license to play this legally. If you don't, you are repurposing someone else's licensed contact illegally. It's as simple as that. Right. You must have a license. So you can't simply drop in. And this is what blows me away with TikTok is so many of these people are doing dance moves to commercial licensed music. It's like, oh, I'm going to dance to Ariana Grande. Did you ask Ariana Grande if you could use that? Because you are now making money off of their work, which is wrong, according to the Mythbusters.
Right.
So now it would be as if somebody took our book, ran it through a copy machine, and gave it away on a street corner. I wouldn't see one penny of it. And I've heard people say, oh, that's okay, because Chuck and T are making millions off of their books. So, you know, we're not. You know, don't think Metallica, the singers, are getting rich off of their stuff. And that's why I'm getting a little soapboxy.
You are getting ahead of yourself. No, you're getting ahead of yourself. That's okay. So now that you know who the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA are, they are the ones that basically step forward and they issue what are called DMCA takedowns. Now, DMCA stands for the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which was brought into law in 1996. Now, to give you some perspective, when Bill Clinton entered office, there were 50 websites online, 50. When he left office 8 years later, that number was in the tens of thousands. That's how quickly
that's
the
all
internet
tens
grew.
Of thousands.
Tens
in
of
eight
thousands.
Years? That sounds low. I would have said.
At least that's what he said at one of his talks. Now, granted, I could be remembering it wrong.
I can consider 50 in 92 because, you know, that was pre-public internet. It was mainly universities and government agencies at that point.
But keep in mind, in 2000, there were tens of thousands of websites online. Keep in mind, Adobe PageMill, which was one of the first WYSIWYG designers, and I know we're kind of getting deep into the weeds with all the alphabet soup. WYSIWYG is what you see is what you get. That kind of layout stuff, like you would see with Dreamweaver and with InDesign, and at that time PageMaker. There was something called, I know we're old. PageMill was the very first WYSIWYG HTML designer program, and that came out like within 2000, 2001. So the internet was still relatively new. It was still relatively new. I mean, I didn't buy tmorris.com until 2002. So
I didn't get chucktomasi.com until we put up the second edition of the book in 2008. Hey, T's got his bio in here and he cites a website. I better get on that.
There we go. So anyway, in 1996, Congress issued the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And what that meant was that if you're distributing anything online and you're not doing it with permission, you're in violation of a digital copyright. Now, in theory, it works great. In theory, it works great. Because you run into situations where people will hear something online or see something online, artwork or otherwise, or in the case of my fiction, they'll see work that's online and they'll start distributing it, you know, and trying to make money off of it. Hey, I've got an advanced copy of the next Verity Fitzroy and the Ministry 7 book from T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne. And it is the DMCA that protects me and makes sure that my work is okay. One of the riders, though, in the DMCA that you need to know about and I'm going to be sending Chuck a link so that you can get more of a deep dive into this. The DMCA will be there to protect two people, the people who create the artwork and the platform that is found distributing it, whether it's with or without permission. Because while the platform is distributing the copyrighted material, the platform is not held responsible for it. Mm-hmm. The platform is responsible for shutting down said person if they are in violation of the DMCA. And real quick, just as we say in the book, neither Chuck nor I are lawyers. We do have a link to another YouTuber. Her name is Lindsay Ellis, and she goes into a deep dive of not only how the DMCA works, but also how some people are starting to weaponize the DMCA.
Really?
Now, that's a that's a different topic for a different podcast another time. What we're mainly focusing on is what's happening with Twitch. And what's happening is, before 2020, Twitch would get 50 DMCA takedowns. And that's when someone from the RIAA said, hey, we noticed that some of these streamers have clips and video on demands, and they're using copyrighted material as background music. Okay. And they can't do that. They would get 50 a year. 50. Mm-hmm. All right. In 2020, that number has now jumped to thousands on thousands of DMCA notices on a weekly basis, and it's not getting any better. And it's all now, right now, it's just covering video on demand. It's just covering VOD clips dating as far back as 3 to 4 years of people saying, I'm using this. And the thing that's really throwing Twitch streamers is they're like, I have no recollection of doing this. I just have my playlist in the background. But this is where we, the two old men that are shaking their fists at the crowd saying, get off my lawn. This is where we come in. The first thing I noticed when I got on Twitch, I noticed as a viewer was that everybody was playing music. Everybody was playing Spotify stuff. So I asked them, I said, how are you able to get away with that? Here were the three top answers.
Lot of that music was in the game. I didn't even realize that it was overlaid.
We're getting that in a second.
Okay.
We're getting to that in a second. So the three biggest reasons I got for being able to play your Spotify playlist. One, I pay a premium subscription to Spotify, so that covers me. Second reason, you know that case where the woman uploaded the YouTube video where her baby was dancing to a Prince song and she beat that? Yeah, that's the same thing here. It's fair use, so I'm covered. Then there's the third one. Other streamers are doing it, and that's it. Now, let's debunk all three of these reasons one by one. Chuck, would you like to handle the first one? I pay a premium subscription to Spotify, and therefore I have a license to play this music on my stream.
No, you don't. Done.
And scene. Thank you and good night. There we go, everybody.
You don't have to be a lawyer to figure that one out.
I mean, okay, can you expand on that? Why? Because on the surface, that would make sense.
Have you read the premium subscription and what it involves and doesn't involve? Okay,
right.
Nowhere in there does it say you can use this music for your own purposes and possibly make money off of it. Again, especially when you start getting into the monetization stuff, alarm bells should be going off right and left.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're doing this for a hobby. I mean, I'm going to save the second case, but if you start making money, whether it's from YouTube or even a Patreon donation, you are inviting danger. That is just, even if you're not, you should be going, hey, you know what? Maybe I better look at something that I purchased a license for. And there are sites out there that you can download and you pay $12 and hey, this is your intro music, go for it, or your bed music or whatever. So, and use it for whatever you want. Again, read the licensing agreement to understand what it is.
One of the things too that about licensing is that yes, you are paying a premium subscription to Spotify. You are paying to listen to the music.
Yes.
Listening to the music, broadcasting the music, two different things. And something else that you should note too, I think I'm glad Chuck brought that up. not only is music subject to copyright, so are sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the Trek phaser, when you hear the Wilhelm scream used in every freaking Star Wars movie, when you play the sound effect of a door opening, if you play the sound effect of if you play a little riff, all that is copyrighted music. And there's a myth that if you pay Spotify a certain premium, that you have the license to that there are two different licenses for listening to music and broadcasting music.
Again, going back to the book analogy, it's the difference between reading a book. I paid T and Chuck, or I paid Amazon to read Podcasting for Dummies.
Right.
That does not allow you to make copies and give it to your friends.
Exactly. And so that's the first thing you know. Okay. The second myth was, well, you know, that viral video of the little boy dancing or the baby dancing to Prince. Prince is playing in the background. She put it on. She got sued by the Prince estate. Okay. That went to court in 2007. It was finally resolved and upheld in 2015.
Wow.
And it was a 30-second video, and it was put on under fair use.
Really?
And the RIAA were not happy with the verdict. They were not happy at all.
I can imagine why.
But here's the thing. She uploaded the video without any intention of making money. It was just, she thought it was cute. She had a YouTube channel. She thought the relatives would love it. The relative shared it. Then more people shared it. Then more people shared it. And then it went viral. That's how viral videos work.
Mm-hmm. Duh.
But the thing was that there was no intention of monetizing the video. And it was a 30-second video. Now, this also brings up a myth that we didn't quite touch on. There's a myth that if you use 30 seconds of a clip,
I heard it was 9. I mean,
9 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute,
math.
Under 1 minute. It's you know why no one has a concrete time? Because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You could literally play 10 seconds of a tune. You could play the entirety of the tune. Both violate copyright. So that is debunking of the second myth. Then there's the third one, which, being parents, Chuck and I have probably used this before with our own kids. Other streamers are doing it. Well, here's the thing. Chuck, are you going to say it or am I going to say it?
If the hell jumped off a cliff when you jumped too?
It's a dad thing. Welcome to Twitch dad stream in stereo. I mean, seriously. Seriously. Well, if that Twitch streamer sets themselves on fire and get partnership, are you going to set yourself on fire to get partnership? I mean, really, that these are the three excuses that people are giving. And what really shocks me is that all this could have been avoided if Twitch had simply said, if you want to listen to music, you do it at your own risk. But here's the thing. It's copyrighted music. Don't use it.
And if we catch you, we're shutting you down.
Right. And there are penalties. There are penalties that Twitch does issue.
Twitch has been around since what, 2012?
2012.
Okay.
2012.
And 8 years later, everybody's under this false impression that they can play music. And now the content creators are getting upset because they say, no, not really. Sorry.
Well, this is where content creators got caught off guard. And I can understand why they got caught off guard. Twitch didn't just turn a blind eye to it. Twitch encouraged it.
And here's
what I mean.
If you were to do a search
right now. Thank you. Perfect. Perfect. Here's a good example, Chuck. If you do a search, if you notice on Twitch, you have this thing called extensions. And these are all little things you can plug into your stream to enhance the experience. Like, for example, right now, my dialogue is being closed captioned. So now I have the ability of closed captioning on my stream. You got Destiny 2 extensions so people can look at your loadout instead of asking again and again and again in streams, what is your loadout? They're all different extensions. Do a search for Spotify. It would amaze you how many Spotify extensions exist and still exist where people go, do you like this playlist? Go on ahead. Click on this link. We'll take you to the song. We'll take you to the playlist. So they were encouraging people to use
Spotify. For the revenue. I mean, there's a revenue stream in there.
whatever the reason, the thing was, is that Twitch was doing nothing to discourage it.
Yep.
And they were making it easier and easier for people to use Spotify for their bed music. And now Twitch is at a point, and this is ridiculous. Twitch is now at a point where they're now getting DMCA for music that is currently in game. In other words, the soundtrack that comes with your game is up for DMCA. Can you imagine how tough it is then if you want to stream Guitar Hero or Twitch Sings, which is their karaoke? It is a huge blunder on their part. And the fact that Twitch hasn't, and keep in mind, Twitch was appropriated for nearly $1 billion by Amazon. Why they can't take part of that money and put it towards, working with Amazon Music to create something that that Twitch streamers can use is beyond me.
Or, being the capitalist pig I am, Twitch streamer, pay me $10 a month more and you'll have license.
And that is another option. So we have the point is, this is what's happening in Twitch right now. So if any of you were curious about what that was, what that was all about, that is it. It is Twitch basically turning a blind eye since 2012 to people playing game as an alternative to the soundtrack of the game itself. And now they're trying to distinguish which DMCA takedowns are for Spotify playlists and which playlists are, and which DMCA takedowns are concerning music that actually appears in the game, like Guitar Hero, Grand Theft Auto, Just Dance, any of these songs. And it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. What does this have to do with podcasting? Gee, I'm glad you asked. So Chuck, as podcasters, how have we avoided this bullet that Twitch just seems to have a bullseye to attract?
It's chapter 5 in Podcasting for Dummies.
Thank you. Scenes. I mean, but seriously, Chuck, what has been the prevailing attitude concerning licensed music and podcasting?
If you don't own it and you can't prove it, you shouldn't use it. That's right. That's really it. From the early days of 2004, 2005, when people were saying, the stars were in their eyes, and we went, hold on. You better understand. And I did that too. I mean, I went, ooh, I got the perfect intro. I think I was using ELO's Fire on High and went, yeah, that lasted about 3 weeks and went, no, don't do that. And I was inspired by something I had heard on, I think it was the Wall Street Journal short snippet they do every day, and went, that's cool. They're doing that as they come back from commercial breaks. Well, you know, Wall Street Journal has a little bit deeper pockets than Chuck Tomasi does. So they can license that music, but you don't know that when you're listening to somebody else's property, whether or not they have that music license or not. Some podcasters, and I thank Brian Ibbett for blazing the trail on a lot of this stuff too, because he does a show called Coverville. He's been doing covers of popular songs since 04, 05. He's an old timer.
Since 04. And he's up to what at the time of the writing of the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies, he was on show, I believe it was 1106.
Way over 1,000.
He,
God bless him, he went and financed the BMI and the ASCAP licenses to allow him to play, just like a radio station would. You know, radio stations can't go on the air and say, I'm going to play any old song I want. No, you got to have the licenses from the people who own those licenses.
And to be specific, he wasn't licensing the original stuff. He was licensing the covers.
Yes.
Ergo, the name of the podcast, Coverville.
Yep.
So this comes back to us as podcasters. And this is for people who are currently podcasting and there are people who are thinking about podcasting. What are your options? What are your affordable options? I'll kick this off by saying the best thing you can get is royalty-free music. Mm-hmm. Royalty-free music is where you pay a flat rate and you download a piece of music. And there are several different websites that you can choose from. The one I recommend to everybody because I got years, and I'm still getting years of from this this particular music, is something called Digital Juice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're digitaljuice.com.
they used to be these collections of CDs. Now it's an online subscription thing, but I still have the boxes of the CDs, and I refer to those on practically a weekly basis. I just wanted
mine are
some,
all over here.
Yeah. I wanted some lead-in music for one of my streams. Well, I start the stream 5 minutes early. There's a countdown timer, but I didn't want people just staring at an empty screen. It's like, let's play them some music. I better have the license. Well, back into the Juice library from 2007 I go to find something that's about 5 or 6 minutes. Even, I'll give you another source that just came up in the last month or so. The BBC has released all of its sound effects. I mean, there's tens of thousands. If you're looking for an old 1927 car that's going, you can find it. And I was looking for a desk bell. Yes, that is from the BBC as of yesterday. So there's a lot of great stuff out there if you're looking for sound effects. Other music, I mean, if you just Google royalty-free music, you're going to find a lot of sources.
I'm not. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of sources. The intro and the outro to The Topic is Trek came from a place where we paid like $12 for each of those clips. It's not a lot of money, you know, if you're considering what you spend on your other hobbies. It's really easy to get started with this. The hard part is it takes forever to decide on what you want.
That's true. That is very true. I mean, to give you an idea how good the Digital Juice stuff was, there was a piece of music that when I did I did something called Moravi Remastered, where I pretty much put all the stuff that I'd cut from the original Moravi and put it back in. And I did a full voice cast with Moravi. And the theme that I used, people were convinced it was the opening theme to Pirates of the Caribbean. And it wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah. It was a knockoff. And it was a beautiful knockoff of the Pirates of the Caribbean. You could put the two next to each other and it's like, ooh, that's dancing real close to the line. But the other nice thing about Digital Juice, and Digital Juice isn't the only one that does this, they do what are called layered bits of music. So what you can do is you've got like 5 or 6 different tracks, and you can say, okay, I like this track, but I don't like the piano in it.
Take the accordion out. Piano,
yeah, take the accordion out, take the piano out. There was one piece of music.
I had not seen that. That must be a fairly recent thing since my old CDs.
No. Actually, no. This when you get Digital Juice. Well, whether you got it in the CD and you'd have to run it on an older Mac, though. I will say,
yeah, because like, the player doesn't run anything. Okay, I'm salvaging all the MP3s in their final product off of them. Okay,
but what you do is, and what happens is the Digital Juice has had an app, and now it's all online, obviously, but they have an app where they basically show you the piece of music that you've got, that you've selected, and it'll give you all the tracks. You then select which tracks you do want, which tracks you don't want, and then you say export. And there was one particular piece of music, chat, that it is a gorgeous piece of music, and I literally created it by just clicking off everything except it was like a 6-track like there was this instrument, there were 6 different instruments. I took out 4 of them and it completely changed the tone and the sound of this piece of music. And that was how versatile the digital juice stuff was. This is not unique though to Digital Juice. You can find, if you do a search for royalty-free stacked music or layered music is the more general term. You will find a lot of people that offer these services. And then from one piece of music, you can literally create 5 or 6. So it's pretty neat.
You could have that theme carried throughout. Another option, if you're feeling creative and you might have a sense of music, even if you don't have a sense of music, I've built some of these. GarageBand. It comes with so many clips. In fact, you can quite literally start at the main page and go, I want a jazz piece. And it goes, here's a whole bunch of random things thrown together that sounds good. You might stop there and go, done. You know, take you 30 seconds. On the other hand, you could take loops and clips and even mix in your own. Hook up a MIDI keyboard if you like. It's very flexible. And, you know, if you do it right, that could be your bed music playing in a loop. you know, just bump, yes. bump, 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 bump.
And that, and these, it's not just GarageBand, or as my wife would say, GarageBand. along with GarageBand, you also have Audition. You yep. also have, if you've got an older Mac, you've got Soundtrack Pro. There are plenty of places that offer you the option of just downloading what are called royalty free. And the other nice thing though, is that if you take these royalty free loops and you compose them together and then present it, yes, that can also be your bed music. That can also be your intro outro theme. And it's perfectly covered because you've created it. Mm-hmm. Any music that you create, that's yours. That is yours to hang on to. That is yours to create. Now, before anybody asks, though, if someone said, well, what if I did a cover of Layla? All right. Again, you're starting to stray into some real dark territory.
Yeah. Or and, if you did and a remix you took, you know, the Layla guitar section and you used that as... You know, no, you're using somebody else's property at that point, and that is licensed. So again,
right.
very, very right. nervous in that state.
So as podcasters, we have a lot of options. We do have a lot of options. And as podcasters who are streamers, we still have options. Mm-hmm. But the real trick is to understand how these options work. There's another thing about knowing when the rules do and don't apply to you. You know, saying I'm going to use fair use, that is not a blank check to allow you to do whatever you want to do with music. It is still copyrighted material and you have to treat it as such. So by all means, when you're going into this, when you want to incorporate music, be careful. And just remember that if you don't own the rights, and just because you contact the musician and say, can I have permission to use your music? They can say, sure, you can use my music.
That doesn't always count.
No, that also doesn't count.
You should turn around and ask them, great, who do I need to contact for a license confirmation?
Yes.
Because just because somebody sang it doesn't necessarily mean they're the writers. You know,
exactly.
Remember, it used to be on the old 45s, you'd see in parentheses, you know, who wrote the music, and would say Lennon and McCartney, even though Ringo was singing it.
Exactly. But the thing about indie musicians is if you've got a friend who is an indie musician, or if there's an indie musician that you know of, strike up a conversation, see if they're interested.
Oh, the indie people are usually great about this. They're like, yes, please play this as your theme music. As long as you give me credit at the end of your show, I'm happy, because that helps grow their audience.
A good example of that, I'll give you two examples. There's of course, a mutual friend of ours who runs Evil Genius Chronicles.
I was going to go there first. Yeah.
Tell them about Dave Slusher then, Chuck. Tell them about Dave Slusher.
Dave Slusher is the second longest running podcast ever. He started the day after Adam Curry. He does a show called Evil Genius Chronicles over at evilgeniuschronicles.org. And he uses a theme song by The Gentle Readers, which is, oddly enough, the band doesn't exist anymore, but... He has permissions from them to use that theme in the beginning of a show. When you hear, you know, the theme music, it's called Last Day of Work. And he apologized one time as he was starting to work at ServiceNow. He said, I forgot to play this on my last day of work. That's the only way I remember this song.
the other story that I would tell is from my own experience. There was a musician. I don't even know how I found them, but there was a musician, but they went by the name of Rubber Band Banjo, and I found him on iTunes, and I reached out to him and said, I love this piece. I would love to use it for the Bill Above Battings podcast. Would you be, who do I have to talk to about about permission to use this? And he said, well, I'm an indie musician. This is all the stuff I do. This is me. I own all the rights.
Nice.
So just let people know. Halfway through the podcast, he says to me, feel free to use whatever music of mine you want, because right now my sales have doubled. And
nice.
Doubled. And
he
then I reached
four.
out to What?
He sold 4 copies.
Hey, you know what? Whatever. Whatever. He was happy. He was happy. But then even indie musicians who didn't need the kind of coverage, you know, terrific musician, guy by the name of George Robb. I reached out to him. He was just getting into podcasting himself. And I said, George, would you be okay if I used some of your music and I gave you proper attribution? I knew George was an indie musician. I knew George owned all the rights. And he was like, oh, go for it, T. Go for it. And the stuff he creates is just, it's just fantastic stuff. And it was reaching out and not saying I'm using your work. It's more about, I would like to use your work. Do you have the permission and can I do this? I will give proper attribution. There are also a lot of what you can also find what are known as Creative Commons protected music, and you can use that as well. But you again have to check the licensing.
There's also artists that will do commissioned work. You know, think about the gig economy we live in these days. It's not that hard to say, hey, I'm creating a podcast. Here's the general theme. And they come back with this 60-second intro. You're like, perfect. Or let's tweak it a little bit. Joe Fiore from Megapodtastic has done that for a number of his properties. Like, I'm changing things up a little bit. He even got told, get this, if you want to go into different licensing direction. It used to be Megapodzilla, and then, what is it, Tomy, who owns the property for Godzilla, said, no, that's too close, but, so he renamed his podcast Megapodtastic, and he had to go back to the same guy and go, I need a new theme song.
But, you know, again, this is why you have to be careful about not just how you name your podcast, but how are you scoring your podcast? And that is, you know, and Mika in chat just went, theme of the stream. How do I love to say, I told you so. Let me count the ways. we're not necessarily doing the, I told you, we're not taking the, I told you so route. This is more about a cautionary tale of hubris.
Yep.
Twitch has been doing this for a long time, and now they're pedaling backwards so hard, they're breaking the bicycle. And in a nutshell, I would say you've made it. Stop faking it. You know, you've got to really start battening down the hatches. And what's worse is they're trying to put the genie back in the bottle after it's escaped. And it also doesn't help that now they're getting DMCA takedowns. They're getting DMCA takedowns for music that is already in game, which is just it's right now. We are now tap dancing in a minefield. So it's as podcasters, what we're saying is before you launch your own podcast or before you decide to take your podcast into a different direction, you need to know the options that are out there ahead of you. You need to know the options that are out there. And that is part of why we're bringing this conversation forward on a stream, why we don't have music playing and why we don't have music playing live, because right now, we're trying to make sure that all of our audio is getting out. All of our audio is available in VOD, and all of our audio is clear and uninterrupted, because that is currently how some people are trying to handle this. Is like, well, we'll go on ahead and mute the audio for you. But if it's in-game music or if it's soundtrack by Twitch, an algorithm may hiccup and go, whoop, we're going to X out the audio. So you have to be very, very careful and know the options you have available. Chuck, did you have anything else you wanted to say concerning this topic?
We're out of time. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So remember, you can reach us and talk about this very subject at 703-791-1701. Feel free to use that on WhatsApp. You can drop us a text message or an audio message. Or you can just call that number straight away and drop us voicemail. You can also drop us an email at podcastingfordummies.com, or you can just go to this episode and leave a comment in the blog post that is associated with this episode. You can also reach out to us here live on stream at twitch.tv/theTMonster. Thank you all so much for this deep dive into what's going on with streaming and how it's affecting podcasters. We hope we've enabled you with some action items. On behalf of Chuck, I'm T. Morris. Thanks for listening. Pod on.